I can say without no hesitation that watching Much Music religiously back in the day, I was a fan of what you were doing. Ed the Sock, thank you for taking the time to join us here in Vancouver on the Toddcast.
You're welcome, but if you're going to do any of that ass kissing, get it out of the way now.
That's probably the only time I'm going to kiss some ass, but I'm curious, what is it that got you out of retirement? I mean, it's great to see that you're back at it, but what was it?
Have you looked around and seen the world? The place is a freaking mess. It's like the aftermath of a frat party in an 80s teen comedy.
Yeah, 100%.
Everything's a mess.
Yeah.
Literally means figuratively, and ignorance isn't bliss. It's a voting block. People are concerned about what bathroom somebody goes to. It's insane. Nobody is speaking truth for common sense, for common people. You got lunatics on the right. You got lunatics on the left. Basically, it's stupidity in stereo, and we're stuck in the middle. There's nobody there. The silent majority, the problem with being part of the silent majority is that you're freaking silent. I am the voice for the silent majority. I've always said what people are thinking, but I say it out loud. And now I'm coming back to stand up for intelligent people who can't stand being overwhelmed by this wave of gleeful stupidity, which has overtaken North American culture.
Yeah, it's very cool to see that you're firing up the, you're starting up the War on Stupid tour at the end of November. It's rolling through Vancouver at the Biltmore Theater, which is a really cool place to see a show. November 29th, there certainly is no shortage of stupid lately.
Well, the truth is that the big trouble I'm having is I'm going to be going on for, I don't know, there's like some comedian warm-up people who I take no responsibility for, because the fact is most stand-up comedians think they're funny, no one else does. So I have no idea if these people will be good or crap, but then I take the stage. I'm going to be on for an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half on my own, and the problem I have is not filling the time, it's how do I cut back all the things I need to talk about.
Right.
I've been away. I left Much Music in 2008. And in that decade, while I was away writing my memoirs, the world went to hell. I have so many things to talk about. Fake news, alternative facts, safe spaces, snowflakes, calling people cucks. What the hell is a cuck? Calling someone a cuck is like wearing an I'm with Stupid t-shirt with the arrow pointed up.
Ed, I wanted to play a little word game association with you. I'll say a word, and I kind of want to get your thoughts on it.
Shouldn't this be like on a game show and somebody wins prizes?
Well, yeah, there's going to be a prize. I'll send that to your handler.
Oh, there'll be a prize, yes, because Canadian game shows are well known for their luxurious prizes. We don't even get turtle wax.
This portion of the show is brought to you by maple syrup.
All right. Now, I warn you, I am dealing with a head cold, so I don't know how fast I'll be, but chances are still faster than most people. All right, go ahead.
Voting.
Do it.
Kanye.
Idiot.
Marijuana.
Smoke it.
Trump.
Idiot.
I posted that you were coming on the podcast to be a guest, and of course there were a few Ed the Sock fan questions. Maria asks, you have a strong opinion about good and bad music. What does he listen to when he's curled up with his sockmate?
You know, people who go into that whole ethnic aspect of commentary, I choose to ignore them. I mean, the question is somewhat valid, but really, this whole business, people focus on me being a sock. That's my ethnicity. I'm not defined by it. Now, as for music, what do I listen to? I listen to the stuff that most people listen to who have some taste in music. So mostly I listen to stuff from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, and then I pretty much stop. Because at some point, music became nothing but a commodity. It was always something that was commodified. So it means people would find someone with talent, and they would take them, they would groom them, they would market them, but the person at least had talent. A singer had to be able to sing. And then someone invented auto-tune. And now people only had to look a certain way and move a certain way. They no longer had to have actual talent. Now they are nothing but a product. And I mean, Ariana Grande, give me a break. I don't want to go see somebody sing whose name is the same as an overpriced coffee.
Right. Are you bringing back fromage?
Well, yes, I am. On my new network, Fun the FU Network. I've started a new network because basically Much Music crapped the bed years ago. Now they only run like Simpsons reruns and South Park reruns. So we need a place that was like Much Music, which was authentic and in the moment, and you never knew what was going to happen, and you knew it was completely honest, and they put emphasis on personality over high production values. Since that's gone, I'm bringing it back online with Fun, the FU Network, and one of the shows that will be launching in the new year is Fromage, the cheesy history of music videos.
That's great.
We'll be going back to the earliest examples of music videos, not cave paintings, but going back to similar to things like Neil Sedaka doing Calendar Girl, and coming right up to present, where music videos really don't even, they're nothing anymore. They used to be huge cultural impact. People would wait for the debut of a new video. Now, a few artists get interest, but most people don't. But I'll be tracing, every episode is one music video, getting a fromage treatment as we progress in history from basically the 50s all the way forward.
That's awesome. And what's the cheesiest music video of 2018 so far?
Man, I'd have to look at them.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that right now I'm thinking a toss-up is between Drake's video where he exploited his former castmates from Degrassi to get a bump with nostalgia and then did a video for a song that has nothing whatsoever to do with the contents of the video, or Carly Rae Jepsen's newest video, which, you know, I'll call her never.
Looking back, Ed, who do you think you burnt the best on Fromage?
You know, it's really hard to say. I think the one that keeps getting brought up to me more and more is the treatment I gave Britney Spears back when she was claiming that she was still a virgin.
Right.
And, of course, my famous line back then was, she'd seen more shaft than an elevator. And that's the one people repeat to me the most often.
Right.
But I think I gave it to everybody equally who deserved it. The people I didn't pick on were the people with lower budgets, like Canadian artists, because they're just doing the best they could. I remember very distinctly the first winner of Canadian Idol. His big music video that they rolled out was shot in the parking lot of a Walmart. You can see the Walmart in the background.
It's blurred out, but you can still see it.
No, it wasn't blurred out. This is Canadian music video. They didn't have the technology for that. It was just there. That was the emphasis on Canadian and Canadian Idol. A guy basically busking in a parking lot.
Wow. What was your first concert?
My first concert ever?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I mean, it goes back. I think The Who's first farewell concert in Toronto. You know, when they decided they weren't going to tour ever again, and this was their big farewell, and they did it in Toronto.
And they actually
I think that was nine farewell tours ago. I'm not quite sure. I've lost track.
Right, exactly. And that's what all bands do. Kiss just announced their whatever the hell they're calling their tour. Is that actually going to happen? Ozzy Osbourne said he's doing the same thing. And like, come on, guys. Who are you kidding? You're not kidding anybody.
Well, here's the thing. Especially with Ozzy, but with bands that are getting older, they may think that they're being clever and they're going to say it's a farewell tour, they're going to milk that, then they'll come back. But at their age, it may very well be a farewell tour and they don't know it.
Right, exactly, exactly.
I mean, look at the Spice Girls are coming back. Except at this point, they're going to have to call themselves the Spice MILFs.
Man, oh man. And apparently the Sporty Spice, Posh Spice, one of those spices, one of them's not coming back. It's Beckham's... Beckham's
yeah, the one that has her own multi-millions.
Right, one that doesn't need the money.
Yeah. The one that doesn't need the money, she's not coming back.
That's amazing.
They have a tour sponsor, Old Spice.
Awesome. There's a question from one of your fans, Ed's, that asks, you know, I'd love to hear what he thinks about the current political scene here in Canada.
Okay, the current political scene here in Canada. You've got people saying, showing polls week after week, that Justin Trudeau, if an election were held today, he either wouldn't win or he'd lose a lot of seats, but that poll isn't looking at who he's running against. Andrew Scheer always has this look on his face like the 7-year-old who just farted in an elevator and is waiting for everyone else to notice. And Jagmeet Singh, the only bright thing occurring in his head are the colors of his turban. He is what happens when people vote for someone because of how it makes them feel to vote for somebody, as opposed to whether the person's the least bit qualified. And you can't criticize. If you say Jagmeet Singh is a moron, then people call you a racist. I call people of all backgrounds, races, genders, ethnicities, morons. Because moron has no gender, no ethnicity. It's just an objective fact. And Jagmeet Singh Everything I've heard him say, he's an idiot.
It's funny, Ed, because when I read that question, I was like, really? Canada has a political scene?
You know, it's sort of seen in smaller letters and italics. When you compare it right. to what's going on in the U.S., oh, we don't have a scene. Our scene is like comparing Waiting for Guffman with Broadway.
Totally. Are you a big sports fan, Ed? Are you
not
a
really.
Sports guy? No. Did you check out the Mayweather McGregor boxing match? I guess about a year back now. Did you get pulled into all that hype?
Yeah, I'm the guy that gets pulled into hype. Like I don't really need to see a couple of meatbags beating the crap out of each other because there's really no suspense. I know in the end one of the meatbags will beat more crap out of the other. I'm just not a giant fan of boxing, but I do love Rocky movies. And I like boxing better than MMA because there's so much hyper testosterone surrounding MMA. And yet you look at it, and it may be the gayest sport ever. There's guys in, like, bicycle shorts, basically. They rub their crotches on each other. Like, it is like the most ancient Greece homoerotic thing. And you get all these guys, these hyper-masculine guys there screaming and yelling. They don't realize this stuff's pretty gay.
Do you believe that aliens have visited Earth?
Do I believe aliens? Well, if you watch all those ancient alien TV shows that are all over the place, you'll come to believe that these people think that ancient man couldn't have learned to scratch his ass without alien intervention. But here's the thing about alien intervention. If aliens gave technology to humans to build the pyramids, why didn't they give them the wheel? Why didn't they teach them how to make an arch? See, there's tremendous gaps in this. I would like to think that aliens came to Earth. I love E.T., great movie. I would love to think that aliens came to Earth. But I can understand why they'd stand back and just sort of laugh at us. Like, we're almost like a giant race of a sitcom. And I don't want to hear from aliens. We have enough trouble dealing with each other. I don't want to hear with another peanut gallery telling us how we should live our lives.
What's the last movie you saw in theater?
You're not going to believe this. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Christopher Robin.
No, did you really? And how was that?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. See, people think that I'm just mean and angry all the time. Christopher Robin was a great movie.
Yeah.
It was heartfelt and funny. You see, it was at least legitimate, as opposed to a lot of these movies that try to tug on your heartstrings with BS dramatics, like that horrible TV show, This Is Us. All it is every week is people crying. I don't understand why people want to watch a TV show with crying. Then they got another show, New Amsterdam. It's another show. It's a hospital show all about people crying. I can't stand that manipulation of my emotions. What else did I see before? I saw the Avengers movie, saw the Star Wars movie,
right.
Saw Deadpool, you know, saw all those basic things. But I don't tend to go to a movie theater anymore because I have a big enough TV in my house that I don't need to endure the stupidity and the comments and the body odor of a room full of strangers.
So you're a fan of all the Deadpool, Avengers, that style of film?
I'm a fan of Deadpool. I think Avengers is completely overrated.
Yeah.
Don't you tell me, and here's spoiler alert, don't you tell me that those characters who died at the end of the Avengers are going to stay dead.
Right.
Don't you tell me, they're not going to make another Black Panther movie. Don't piss in my ear and tell me it's raining.
Right. If you could have a superpower, Ed, which power would you want to have?
I think I'd like the power to fly.
Yeah.
So if I'm stuck in a bad conversation with an idiot, I'm gone. Just gone.
Love it. I love it. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
A near-death experience? Once, with Bret Hart the wrestler.
Oh, yeah? What
you
happened?
You know Bret Hart?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, he's been a guest.
Yeah, we were doing a thing at the MMVAs. There was this shtick where we were all playing cards, and supposedly I was cheating. And he finds that I've got some cards hidden up my sock. Ha ha, very funny. I didn't write this bit. Anyway, and then he's supposed to get mad and choke me. Okay, I guess no one told him, or maybe he's a method actor or something, but the guy started actually choking me. Like, we're live on TV, and Bret Hart has these crazy eyes, and I thought I was dead. I thought that was the end of me. Dead by Bret Hart. I don't think to this day he remembers it, because I'm not sure exactly where his mental state was when it happened, but that was a near-death experience. When talking to Vanilla Ice, That was a near brain death experience. And I had a few of those in my career.
Oh, I bet you have. I bet you
have. You talk to people and you feel your IQ ticking down bit by bit and you try to wrap it up.
Yeah. What would be your career highlight, would you say then?
You know, it's really difficult. That's such a difficult term. I've been around since 1987.
Right.
I left Much Music. I started on Much Music and City TV in 1994, left in 2008. That's a lot of time and a lot of highlights and a lot of lowlights. So trying to think of what did I enjoy the most, it's pretty difficult to figure out what I liked the most. It's easier to figure out the people I liked the least, but mostly I didn't pay that much attention. It was just a job. I went in, I did my shtick, I went the hell home.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
But highlights, I really liked being at Woodstock 99.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Because I was live on the air. I was the person, and this was noted in the media, I was the person who first said, this is about to go straight to hell. And it did. And I was the one who predicted it. Which, you know, that's sort of odd notoriety. But I watched that for 3 days in blistering heat in a venue that was an old military base, so it had no shade, no place people could skulk in the shadows, and people were charging $10 for small bottles of water. I knew this was about to boil over.
Yeah.
And that afternoon, when they started knocking over the outhouses and body surfing in the crap, I knew this was Lord of the Flies. And so being a part of something that's actually unfolding in front of you historically, that was great fun. But generally, just being on Much Music, being on a place where they let me say whatever I wanted. Nobody spoke to me beforehand saying, what are you going to talk about? What are you going to say about this? Nobody ever asked me. No one told me not to talk about something. No one gave me hell after. Well, maybe they gave me hell after, but it didn't really matter. Because going forward, there was no rules. They respected me enough to let me do what I wanted to do, say what I wanted to say, and they allowed the other VJs of my generation to be who they were. They hired people who they knew, who they trusted, whose personalities they liked, and said, go do your thing. And this is the thing that's gone missing in those last 10 years. Mm-hmm. As more and more people, media figures and politicians, became very tightly controlled about what they were saying or allowed to say. This is why people around the world are starting to take to cotton to the appeal of an idiot like Trump, because Trump says what he means and means what he says. So I think people are attracted to that as opposed to the crap that comes out of his mouth. My job is to come back and do what I always did, which is say what I mean and mean what I say, but do it with some frickin' brains.
Right. Well said, dude. And you know, there's a reason why I'm not back in radio and I'm going into my fifth year of podcasting. You know,
radio's dead.
There's a reason
for radio. You walk in there, it smells like a graveyard.
Yeah.
There's no future in radio. Who the hell listens to radio? You know who listens to radio? Old people who are too feeble to change the dial or to click a mouse. No one. It's like clowns. You know why clowns go to visit kids in hospitals? Because the kids are too weak to run away from them. Mm-hmm. Nobody listens to radio anymore. It's a dead industry. Podcasts, doing what you're doing, that's the future. And quite frankly, radio should be beating your doors down to try to get you back. Because there's people like you, and in Toronto, Humble and Fred, there's people who have immense talent on radio, and who radio doesn't really know how to recognize and appreciate talent. And so they let you guys go out into the wild blue yonder. Whereas if they were smart and wanted to maintain an industry, they would keep people like you who know how to do good radio and how to engage people. Instead of just hiring young people who don't, you know, these zygotes who don't know their ass from a hole in the ground, and say, well, we can pay them less and they're just going to play records. They don't understand what radio was all about. Radio was about personality. Radio was about rebellion. Radio wasn't about submission to authority.
You know, as a peer in the industry, man, I'm really happy that you're back at it. I just want to say good luck on the War on Stupid tour. Again, rolling through Vancouver at the end of November, November 29th at the Biltmore. It's a great little room. Ed, thanks again for joining us here on the Toddcast in Vancouver. Online, you are simply at Ed the Sock on Twitter. You're searchable on Facebook, Ed the Sock, through the FU network.
And people can check out YouTube. I hate YouTube because I had a fight with them.
Yeah.
But they can still find lots of episodes of my Live from Canada, Ed the Sock show that I did from the Hard Rock Cafe about a year ago.
Okay.
You can find them there. That feels the most like old Much Music. And I'm looking forward to these shows out west. Every show will be completely different, because I don't do any planning, and audiences will be participating. So if you're in the audience, be prepared. You may be able to come up and get interviewed by me, like just like celebrities did.
Right.
It will be complete. This is going to be a show that we make together, me and the audience. It's not something I just come and drop in your lap like a hot turd.
Right. Fantastic. Ed, thank you so much. We'll see you in Vancouver November 29th at the Biltmore. And beyond that, we'll see you online.
Thanks. Hope you show up at the show, Todd. You can come up on stage.
Dude, 100%. I will be there.